So we are going to start the next part. So that is the Dhamma sermon. Actually, we were discussing Mangala Sutta. It's a very popular sutta and typically it is considered as a blessing. Now, so what are the blessings is what Buddha discussed here. So basically, people can say various blessings are there. So different kinds of blessings that people can discuss, decide, and even during the Buddha's time, so different kinds of blessings were recognized. And so even not only the people or not only the human beings and even the other celestial beings had the question, so what are the blessings? Is it what we come across? Is it what we see early in the morning? Is it what we hear early in the morning? So are they the real blessing to the life? So they had that kind of different attitudes, different understandings about the blessings. And so they wanted to discuss this with the Buddha. So Godsaka actually has assigned one deity, one celestial being to ask this question. So in one night, so he approaches the Buddha and he asks the question. So that is how the Mangala Sutta comes into effect, where that Deva is approaching the Jetavanarama, illuminating all Jetavanarama, and then he is asking the question, Bahu Deva Manussacha Mangalani Achintayu. So there are many Devas, many human beings who actually couldn't understand what really are the blessings. Akinkamana Sottanang Bruhi Mangala Muttama. So please therefore tell us what are the highest blessings. And Buddha starts with telling that you should not associate with the fools, should not associate with bad people, and you got to associate good people, wise people, and then you need to pay respect, have kind of a reverential attitude towards the worthy people, and these are the what we call the blessings. So likewise, the Buddha's approach is in a way very practical. It is not that we have to have kind of a supernormal power or a very blissful state or in a way magical power or any kind of superhuman nature. So that is not what Buddha is recommending here, but very much like using our own efforts, using our goodwill, using our good human skills, how one can have a blissful life, kind of a blessed life. Now they are, so the we can understand through the sutta, so what Buddha actually recommends are very, very practical, based upon our own efforts. So we have to have our own efforts, and using which actually we are able to recognize certain amounts of very good deeds. And those deeds are, in a way, with the one after the other explaining. So who to associate, who to dissociate, and who to pay respect, and all these different very practical incidents that we come across in our life, how to select, this is the good approach, this is the good activity. These are the wholesome activities, these are the beneficial activities. These are beneficial not only for a materialistic point of view, but even from the spiritual point of view. And that is why Buddha is coming across a list of such activities. And there Buddha gives an understanding to us. Okay, these are the good activities we need to have, we need to follow. And if one is following that, it becomes a blessing. So last week, actually, we were able to discuss some of them. So I can jump to the next part, where we have stopped. Say, Mata Pitu Upatthana, Uttadarasya Sangahu, Anakulacha Kammanta, Etam Mangala Puttama. Now, this is a very common thing, serving one's mother and father. So, as Buddhists, typically, we have that attitude. We are looking after our parents, taking care of their health, and if there is something wrong, just to be with them, just to satisfy them, just to console them. And if there is sickness, we always are looking after them, taking the medicine, taking the doctor, and preparing the medicine, taking care of their health, and all these things in a way we are trying to do because Mata Pitu Patta. So we are Buddha mentioned, so they are our Pubba Acharya. So they are our first parents, first teachers. So they are the ones actually looked after us when we can't do anything. When we are infants, we can't do anything. So that is the time actually they were happily and carefully looked after us. So we have to have that gratitude within us. Even though now we may be adults, have our own families, but still having that gratitude towards our parents is in a way very important, because then only we may have a very soft mind. It is not that we become very selfish individuals because of the practice, rather maintaining that humanity within us. It's very, very important that we have to become more good human beings rather than become certain isolated, selfish individual. So knowing about parents, knowing about their contributions, even though sometimes they have, say, difficulties, or they have their own mistakes or their own shortcomings, still having kind of a gratitude within us actually help us to show our gratefulness, actually help us to have a soft mind, so that even the spiritual path is slowly growing within us. Because if we are only selfish and even with the, when we have the capacity to look after them, if we are ignoring them, so actually then Buddha mentioned it's a kind of a low or mean kind of a task. So that is explained in the Vasala Sutta. So if we have the capacity to look after our parents, if you are not doing that, so Buddha say he is not a good person, he's a bad person. But on the other hand, there may be situations where you are not in a good position, you too also have so much of difficulties, and there may be limitations that to what extent that you are capable of helping your parents. So there are such real actual situations as well. But on the other hand, when it is possible and when we have the capacity, always looking after them, always taking care of them, helping them is very important. And on top of that, what Buddha mostly recommend is showing them the path. If they don't have enough faith, how to inculcate faith within their mind? If they are not protecting precepts, how to in a way persuade them to protect precepts, to maintain morality? If there is no much of wisdom, how to arouse wisdom within them? How to show them the path? If there is no any desire to practice, how to push them or how to pull them into the path of practice? So this is the way, in a way, as children, that we can pay off the loan that we have taken from the, debt that we have towards the parents. So it's very difficult in a way, because even though we do a lot of materialistic kind of helps to the parents, so Buddha mentioned that is not the only way of paying off. Even though you do that, even though you take care of your parents, even though you even yourself bathe them, still Buddha mentioned that is not the way to pay off. But if you are able to inculcate wisdom in them, concentration in them, faith, saddha in them, and show them the path, take them to the good moral standards, so that is how you are in a way capable of paying off. Mata Pitu Upattha, then Putta Dharasa Sangaho. So that is where, say, assume that now you are leading a household life. Now you have your own duties, your own responsibilities, your spouse is there. Then you have certain responsibility to look after them as well, because they are fairly dependent on them, dependent on you. So it is your responsibility to look after them. So if you are looking after them, so then a kind of a relationship is growing. A kind of a human attitude is growing. At the same time, the children are actually growing as individuals. Kind of a understanding is growing. So if things are happening more smoothly and we all are trying our best, then it's a blessing. But on the other hand, if we are neglecting, if we are ignoring, if we consider everything as a kind of a burden, then we actually can't even help with a pleasant attitude. Because, you know, sometimes we consider it as a burden. We consider it as a kind of a barrier. And sometimes when someone is practicing, if the children are making a noise, if a husband or wife is not that happy about our practice, so then kind of a conflict can happen. But if we are able to convince them, if we are able to sort of find time while doing our part also, while fulfilling the obligations, then that's a different story. Where it is not that I have ignored the spouse, rather while I am taking care of them, still I am able to look after my own practice. So that's a challenge in a way. So here actually Buddha recognized as a family, so how much that we have to have a kind of a responsible attitude, how much we have to have a kind of a caring attitude. Because otherwise the family may break, and that may cause kind of a influence to the village, to the city, and as a kind of a society. And internally we also suffer, we also feel discomfort, unsafe, children may feel unsafe, wife may feel unsafe. So likewise, all different other family problems can arise if we start ignoring them, if we have other illicit relationships, unnecessary relationships, then all these things are in a way issues that we can come across in the today's terms. And where people are ignoring their contributions. But on the other hand, if they are taking care of their parents, they are taking care of wife and children and the spouse. So all that Buddha consider as, in a way, Mangala Karana, as a blessing. Because then those say children, if the grateful wife, so if they have that kind of gratitude within them, if they have that grateful attitude, and that is in a way internally happen like a blessing, a kind of a thriving force for us to also to grow. By the way, I mean, these things are arguable. Sometimes we can't find a balance. We can't find the time. We have very many other responsibilities, many other obligations, our own interest. It's a very complicated subject, but in brief, if we are a married person, if we are a family person, so looking after spouse, taking care of them is in a way becomes a responsibility. So if we are able to do that, so then Buddha says it's a blessing. Anakulacha kammanta. So having an honest occupation, samma ajiva. So you know that different kind of traits Buddha did not recommend. So one thing is, say, liquor. Another thing is weapons, animals, slaves, poison. So these are the kind of harmful traits that Buddha asked us not to involve. On the other hand, if a kind of a trade or a business or any other craft, occupation, profession, if we are getting involved, which are harmless, so that becomes a blessing. So we need certain amount of economic safety. So if we are leading a household life, so we have to have that economic safety. So then only we can continue our life properly, easily. Then only we can help another person. We can think about any spiritual side as well. We can pay respect, we can help the temple, the monks and all the others as well. So likewise, having some kind of a good financial terms is very important. So even there, if we are able to have a very righteous kind of a occupation, that is also very, very important. Because nowadays we know that how much people are involved in illicit type of occupations, strong kind of occupations, and how that is having certain influences, implications to the society. But on the other hand, if we are able to find out a good job, which is harmless, doing something good for me, doing something good for the others, so that is where it's becoming a very interesting blessing. Then the situation is very favorable, where no one is in a way accusing us, telling that I'm doing something wrong, or I'm harming the society, or my actions are making someone unhappy, disturbed, or something like that. Rather, on the other hand, that my work, my contributions are largely benefited by the others. If that kind of a thing is very happening, actually it becomes a very interesting, pleasant honor to oneself. So you are also doing your job properly. You are doing it wholeheartedly, honestly. And on the other hand, as a result of that, many others are also getting the benefit. So it's a kind of a win-win situation. Now you yourself is contributing and the others are benefiting, and you and both sides are becoming happy. I mean, such occupation may be rare in the society, by the way. So that's why if we are having such occupation, that becomes a kind of a blessing. So we have to little consider about the proper kind of ajiva, right livelihood here, because Buddha recommended, okay, you got to have this kind of a situation, you got to have possibility of maintaining your life, but at the same time, it should not harm another person. So finding out such kind of an occupation would be difficult, but still may be available. So if we have one, then of course, it's a blessing. So you can see, I mean, these things are sometimes not easy. Now, say, Mata Pitu Upatthana, so looking after the parents, could be sometimes challenging. You may be far away. Your parents may be at one place and you may be at another place. So in today's terms, how are we going to look after them? And on the other hand, when children are growing and there are various other limitations, and you also have to involve with your occupation. At the same time, you have to look after your children. You have to attend to the school. So then how are you going to manage? And when financial terms are very difficult, but at the same time, how are we going to maintain a kind of a ethical ground when we are continuing our job? That's also difficult. So that's why this become a blessing if we are able to do that. It is not that everything is easy to do, that all these things are quite easy to do. Rather the opposite, that these things are difficult to do. If we are able to do that difficult thing, then it is a blessing. So for example, if you are looking after your parents and they are also quite happy, they also appreciate what you do and you are managing, you are in a way making a lot of effort to manage everything. You are doing a significant contribution. You are looking after them. So internally, you also feel happy because of your contribution, because of your gratitude. And your parents are also understanding and they also appreciate how you are managing, how you are doing. It's a blessing there. So that's how we need to understand how these Mangala Karana, how these, these blessings really become a blessing to our life. It is not that we can easily do all of these. Rather, on the other hand, we can see they are pretty challenging to achieve. If we are able to achieve that challenging task, that very wholesome, blissful task, then we can say it's really a blessing to my own life. It may be a blessing to the whole society even. That's why it is not that all these lists immediately we can accomplish. Rather, whatever the task that is mentioned here may be very difficult. You can easily earn money by something, doing something harmful to the society. But if you want to earn money righteously, that would be difficult. So if you are having already a kind of a job or an occupation which is quite righteous and helping you as well as the others, and again, you are happy about it, others also appreciate what you are doing, so this is really a blessing. It's a marvelous opportunity then we have, because I am also contributing my honest contribution, others are also getting the benefit, and I am quite happy and the other party is also happy. So having that kind of situation is a rare situation. If it is available, it is a blessing. Dānañca dhammacaryāca ñātakānañca saṅghaho anavajjāni kammāni etam mangala muttama. Now here, giving and righteous conduct. Dānañca dhammacaryāca. Now you know that there are different wholesome deeds that Buddha mentioned. And conducting them, implementing them becomes a blessing. Suppose that you are doing meditation, you are sharing merits, you are practicing morality, you are participating in good Dhamma sermons, discussions, and you are having good friends. So likewise, there are many favorable, wholesome tasks. If you are able to achieve, then it is becoming a blessing. And of course, if you are able to give something to another person, so that other person, if he is appreciating that wholeheartedly, so then it becomes a blessing, because you are making another human being happy, free from suffering. It is the kind of a righteous money that you have spent in that, what you have earned through your hard work. So that hard earned money that you have used, by knowing that on the other person, if he is also appreciative, grateful. So this is a very blissful state, a kind of a blessing, because you can see all these possibilities are there to even distract, even destroy what we do. Suppose when we are giving a dana, giving a almsgiving, there may be various disturbing things which can happen. Others can criticize, or you know, may not have enough funds, or you can't even participate, you can't contribute much, and difficult to get monks, and even they may get late. So likewise, there are various practical problems, even when we are talking the dana, the offerings. And if we are able to fulfill everything properly, as much as possible, and everyone is so happy, and you yourself is quite happy how things have happened, and you also worked hard, honestly, so then only we can say it's a blessing. That's why it is not that mere giving becomes a blessing, but how the whole setup is fairly favorable, that we achieve that properly, so that both parties are happy, all are benefited, then we can say, that is really a blessing. Dhammacaryāca. And how we are righteously conduct ourselves in the Dhamma path. You know that many people are distracted from that, gone away from that. They don't even recommend that. So in such a society, if we are able to incline towards the Dhamma, if we are trying our best to align with the Dhamma, if we are trying our best to continue the path of the Dhamma, so that is a blessing, because all the people are being swept away by the flows, swept away by the tides of sensuality, maybe various kinds of defilements. But if we are trying to maintain our ethics, maintain our morality, continue the path, develop concentration, develop wisdom, it's a very, very rare opportunity. Because nowadays people are struggling. Sometimes people are even in a situation where they can't know whether they will live on tomorrow. Certain countries are completely stricken by the wars. Very unfortunate situation. But on the other hand, if you, on the other hand, feeling comfortable, and also able to practice the Dhamma, learn about the Buddha's teaching, have the capacity to live according to Dhamma, it's a very, very rare opportunity. And even if we get a thought to do that, it's a very rare thought. And even if we are trying to do that practically, that is also a very rare task. And while doing that, if you become more successful in that path, that is also a very, very rare thing. So that's why if we are able to achieve that rare thing, it is a real blessing. Because you know, if we miss the chance, if we are ignorant about it, we don't know the value of it. And on the other hand, if we don't have any kind of appreciation about it, and we simply ignore that, we don't care about it. But if we know the value about it, and we are able to pursue that, then definitely it becomes a blessing. Nyatakānañca saṅghaṁ. So basically assistance to the relatives. Sometimes there are relatives who are quite poor, incapable, and assume that we are well-to-do, then sharing our resources with them, sharing something we have with them, make them also quite happy. It's a kind of a very pleasant feeling that arousing yourself when that you see that someone is happy because of your kind act. It is not that we need to verify everything and then give so that he's not going to misuse or something like that. Rather, when we have something to give, there's a need also among our relatives. So why not help? The other party become really happy, appreciative about your kindness, your helping hand. And you also feel, okay, why am I going to be gifted, so why can't I share my own kind of gifts with the others, my wealth with the others? It may not cause a huge impact on your economy, but on the other hand, by making another person happy, genuinely happy, not that you are expecting their vote or their anything from them. Rather, you are doing it wholeheartedly as a human being. You have that urge. You have that empathy. You have that compassion. So you are doing it. So understanding such kind of capacity within us, if you are able to have that, Buddha says it's really a blessing. Anavajjani kammani. Again, Buddha highlights the anakulacha kammanta is what previously highlighted. Now here it is say anavajjani kammani. These are the blameless deeds. So anavajjani kammani, in one sense we can say error-free kind of correct kind of activities. Correct activities. Blameless activities. No one would blame, no one would criticize of our activity. Rather, even others can sort of praise about our activity. Because it is beneficial to me, beneficial to others. So different kinds of activities may be there. So whatever the activity when we are conducting, that is why Buddha advised to Venerable Rahula, so you got to do a reflection before you are doing it, while you are conducting it, and at the end of the completion of the task, we do a kind of evaluation. Assessment, then only we know whether it is good for me, good for the others, and if so, we can continue, otherwise we can abandon. So likewise, Buddha giving us here a very interesting criteria, how to have a blessing. So okay, with that, I like to conclude today's Dhamma sermon. Now I like to open the session for questions.
Sir, Bhante, we have three questions, if Bhante has time to take them.
Sure, yeah.
Okay. Question number one of three, this is regarding the Dhamma sermon. Dear Bhante, much merits for your explanation last time during the Dhamma sermon about Patirupa Desa and also answering the question on Samma Ajiva. Can these two be interrelated? As an example, if I live in Las Vegas, gambling is legal. And this is the industry 90% of the people attached to. Also, I can think of fishing villages where the main livelihood is nothing but fishing industry. People in these places might have never heard of Dhamma or anything bad about what they do. That's my question of Patirupa Desa. Much merits and metta. That's the end of the question.
Definitely, definitely. Actually, there are. That's why I mentioned. So nowadays we have the capacity to access internet and to access various resources thanks to the technology. But on the other hand, if we are locked in a kind of a situation where there is no such kind of a capacity facility, and we solely depend on who we are associating. And what are the facilities available in our vicinity? So then we are completely dependent on that. As you said, assume that we are in a village where there is nothing much, there is no much communication, there are no much resources, and only occupation available is fishing. Then of course we may also have to get involved with that, and ultimately we gather a lot of demerit. We do various unwholesome deeds, and we gather a lot of demerit. So that's why whenever we are living in a country or in a particular place, so if we have the blessing to connect with the good people and to have our own support in a proper way, in a harmless way, it's a really, really a blessing. Because many people don't have that opportunity. Sometimes people are involved with various activities without their proper, desire. They have to do that. Unfortunately, they have to do that, maybe to look after their children, to spouse. But what they are doing is maybe harmful to themselves. And probably they are living in a particular country, as you said, which is giving us a bad impression. And children are growing in a, unsafe environment and not kind of moral standards are not that good, and they are being distracted, and maybe war situation. So there are many, many situations which are quite harmful, detrimental to our own self and to the others. So how are we going to have a very peaceful, comfortable, safe, and again, easier access to the Dhamma is also available, good companions are available, good friends are available, facilities are available. So if we have all that, that is really a blessing. Yes.
Question number 2 of 3. This is mindful sitting. Dear Venerable Sir, I have been practicing sitting and walking for several years, and much merits for you and Nisarnavanya Sangha for the valuable guidance. Lately, I could not practice much and lost the touch of mindfulness after many months without any practice. I can see the negative results as my storytelling and internal chatter has increased drastically. I can observe that some days from the morning until I go to sleep, my internal chatter continues, stressing me whole day. Maybe due to my previous practice, I can observe what is happening. I try to be mindful on day-to-day activities to reduce this mind chatter, but so far not much results. Rather than trying to suppress inner chatter, I am now thinking to relax my negative attitude about it and try to observe how these thoughts pop up and go. This might be something I can practically do than struggling to focus on day-to-day activity body sensations. Much merits for Venerable's kind guidance with metta. That's the end of the question.
Yeah, so I think you can take both approaches. When you are confident that you can directly watch the mind, you can do that. And as a result of that, if the mind is slowing down or the proliferation become less, proliferated time also become less, distracted time become less, but your mind's clarity improves and you feel some calmness. So that means the action that you have taken has many benefits. On the other hand, if that is not working, actually you can put your attention to the body. So it is not something that we need to be afraid of. Because even while walking, when the mind gets distracted, so if we are slowly bringing our attention back to the body, to the step, so it's a kind of a aligning ourselves in a different way, rather than simply allowing the defilements to carry away us. Rather, now I am developing a new trend in my mind, a new skill in my mind. So that at the moment depends on the body. So various bodily sensations are there, but the activities are there. So one is trying to be mindful about those activities so that mind's involvement with that storytelling, daydreaming, fantasizing become less and less. Because the thing is, without enough mindfulness, we can't confront daydreaming mind, so this chattering, immediately, because we are very much like addicted to that. We are fairly addicted to that inner chatter. So we want that, we enjoy that, we encourage that. So that's the inner tendency we have. So cutting it off is not that easy. That's why we are taking a different approach. We are trying to put purposeful attention to various bodily activities. And that ultimately help us to completely even calm down inner chatter. So when you are fully engaged with the practice, say you are doing walking practice, and each and every step you are very much mindful, and now you have come even to the level of recognizing various element characteristics. So that means inner chatter has almost stopped. Time to time only there are maybe little disturbance, but majority of the time mind is very quiet. So that means, so this bodily practices, so Kayanupassana is very, very important to for us to calm down the mind. It's not that we are immediately confronting the thoughts and trying to do Chittanupassana, rather let the mind be corrupted, let the mind be hindered, distracted, but let me develop mindfulness, use in the body. So that helps us to even calm down that mind.
Thank you, Pante. So question number three. This is a Dhamma Sama question. Dear Pante, what is Buddha's position on having children in the first place? Does it continue samsara or is it a good opportunity for growth and blessings? Thank you for your valuable talk with Metta. That's the end of the question.
Interesting question, by the way. So if you are living a kind of a household life, now when Buddha is telling the value of the importance of looking after the parents, importance of looking after children, and all these things. And in that sense, actually, Buddha is giving a kind of a conventional talk where you need to look after them. And on the other hand, say in certain suttas like Vyagrapajja Sutta, say that a certain position is given to our teachers, to our children, to our parents. So likewise, different, positions are even given, directions are even given. So emphasizing how we are interacting with them, how our contribution towards them, how our relationship towards them. It's a kind of a family, a society that here we are operating. It's not that we can completely, live alone. So if we are living a household life, so then it is not that we are completely encouraging living alone, but it's a kind of a society, a family that is being encouraged. But on the other hand, if you prefer living alone, then you have to take a kind of a breakthrough to a different life. So therefore, it's a challenging question in a way to immediately say, yes, you need to have children, or no, you don't need to have children. It's not easy to say that kind of a black and white answer. So you need to think, what is your priorities? So what are your priorities? So do you want to live a household life? You want to be successful materially? Do you want to have a typical family background? Or do you want to completely stop that? You have something more important than that. So what are your priorities? So depending on your priorities, you need to decide. So we can't say a generalized answer here. I feel that it depends on your own priorities, and you need to decide what is most important. Is it the right time? Is it the proper time? Oh, I don't need to have them. So likewise, you need to decide. So responsibility comes totally to you, and how you are managing, how you are succeeding in your life. Yeah.
Thank you, Bante. So because we are actually having the short program today, and Bante has the Nisanavanaya retreat to continue, we will end the program today.
Right.
To end the program, I would first like to thank Bante for his valuable time, even with the busy schedule at the monastery. To all the supporters of this program, both seen and unseen, and to the participants for joining today to practice and share their questions. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu.
Thank you very much. Sadhu, sadhu. Thank you very much.
Sadhu, sadhu.